Now, I got to tell you something, folks. We are in a time crunch, amen. Lots of things have to happen, amen. And when they gave me the subject that I had, it was a subject that I don't know. I'm sure Brother Mike didn't know, Pastor Mike didn't know, but it was something that had to happen in my life, and it is happening in my life. You know, we're dealing with a subject about faith. And if you look in the Word of God, there is a plethora of places that you could go to build on that subject. It is absolutely overwhelming, amen? In the New Testament alone, there from Matthew to Revelation, there is over 248 references just to faith. 51 references to being faithful, not to mention the other areas about being doubt and doubtful and all these things happening. And so it boggles the mind the directions you can go into. And I got to tell you this as well. So many of the messages that were preached, everybody decided they wanted to, if they didn't want to step in my area, they wanted to at least smack me one time and let me know everything has to happen by faith. Without faith, the Bible said, if it's not of faith, then it's sin. So nobody cares about the rest of it unless we come and we're building these things by the faith of the Word of God. Amen. Trusting in God. So we're going to start in some areas here. And please bear with me just a little as we go into different areas. I want you to turn to Romans 1:17 and stand with me for that. And I also want you to take your other hand and put it over there into Hebrews chapter number 11. Amen. And then we're going to also, and this will be a hard thing for me, so bear with me, please. We're also going to look at something just to help our understanding out in Psalm 105, amen? And Psalm 119, 105, and 106, I want y'all to say those with me, amen? So Romans 1:16, you there? Say amen. 1:17, the Bible says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Psalm 119, 105, if you wouldn't mind reading that with me. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it that I will keep thy righteous judgments." Father, you know what we have need of. Lord, you know my heart. Father, you know how many times I've let you down because I've walked the paths of the faithless instead of trusting you in everything. Father, how I've questioned myself and even questioned you because the direction was unclear to me, but it didn't mean it was unclear to you. I ask, Lord, that you give me grace this morning. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit, Lord, that I might know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm lifting up my Savior. And Lord, by your will and by your word, we shall walk the pathway of faith. The just shall live by faith. Help me to live by the very word of God. Thank you for mercy. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen and amen. You may be seated today, folks. Pastor Mike wouldn't know this, but at the end of this year here, I've been working now for the past 36 years minimum, and always, even when the ministry for the last 26 years, I have always not just been in the ministry, but always had jobs and things to tide me over, help me as the church was doing great things. When I left Belgium, the Lord had already had me established over there in such a way that I got to be honest with you folks, it was one of those dream positions. I had need of nothing. I had cars, amen. And just, you know, in Belgium, in Europe, they were taxi cabs, amen. They were Mercedes. But I had cars. My house, I had that over there. An American-style house in a European country. That meant that I was living like a king. I actually had a master bath in the master bedroom that was masterfully laid out, amen. If you wanted to take a steam bath, if you wanted to do the, I had all that stuff over there, amen. Had a church that said they loved me. I don't know about that for sure, amen. You know. You never know until it's all over, amen. But I had a church that loved me over there. God was saving people left and right. The people were getting following the Lord and believers' baptism. People were growing. People were surrendering to the ministry. All kinds of wonderful things happening. You know, I had salaries, but I was still working in the military over there. They was giving me 30 days. I was able to travel the world. People would come over there, and they'd come to visit the church there. And the first thing we'd do is we'd surprise them. We'd take them over here and take them to see, oh, gay Paris, and people, oh, hoo-hoo, ha-ha, and they stay looking at the Eiffel Tower. It's like, oh, look at this. This is magnificent. It's just a big old rusty tower, but people like it, amen. They think it's romantic to look at rust, amen. If that's the case, Detroit should be just hitting it, amen, because it's called the Rust Belt now, amen. But that's what they want to see, amen. We went over there. We would go to Germany, amen, and eat the wonderful German food, go to Holland. I was in the heart of Europe, amen, 2 hours from some of the most exotic places in the world that people dream about going to, amen. And I was living the Viva Loca, amen. Vida Loca, Viva. It's okay, my Spanish is awful, but get my point here, amen. All of a sudden, the Lord began to deal with my heart and say, I want you to go back to the States. And I think, nope, I don't want to do that. Because I'd have to give up so much, amen. And you know, Dr. Calvert, you put it out, they had a wonderful revival going on over there in Samaria. People were getting saved. It was a hallelujah time. The Holy Spirit had come down. Peter and John was there, and people got, Simon the sorcerer got busted out in the crowd, amen. It was a wonderful time. And then God told Philip to go to a place, leave that wonderful established environment, and said, I want you to go to a place that's a desert. I am not unlike Philip. What? There's nobody out in the desert. There's one person in the desert. Yeah, but can't you send somebody else? I got this wonderful work going here. I started the church. God used me over here in Samaria to start the church. Then can't you use somebody else, Lord? But he didn't say that. He just took off and went to a desert. And of course, I want to be biblical. I want you to go to Atlanta. My wife said, you got your signals wrong. He wants you to go to Philly. And she's saying that because they got manna in Philly in the form of Philly cheesesteaks. So I know why she wants to go. My family's there. The man is there. We got mustard pretzels. If you're going to move from here, you might as well move up. God said, no, you're going to Atlanta. Praise the Lord. We show up in Atlanta. You look for the red carpet to roll out. It didn't. When I come over there, and as soon as they hear me speak, the angels will open up the precipice of opportunity, and I'll come over there, and they'll say, oh, and they didn't. And I'm sitting in my living room. And I'm sitting in my living room behind a box that is my pulpit. And my congregation consisted of 8 chairs, blue chairs. I still got the chairs and memorial chairs. I think I'm going to put such a string around them. And so this is where God has us starting the church. And we was figuring out what could we call the church, you know. Could we call it this? Could we call it that? You know, could we call it? No, there's only one Calvary ain't going to call. Let's call it Harvest. No, a Harvest is not good. Let's combine them and we'll call it Calvary's Harvest. It didn't matter. You only had 4 people. That's all you had. And it's just, as you're looking at this thing and you got 8 chairs, you got 4 people, you space them out, makes it look like you got a crowd. You just meet in the smallest room. And God started something there because somebody decided, let's just believe God for a moment. And don't get me wrong. I was just as doubtful in certain areas where I had to go to the Lord and say, I believe, Lord, but help thou my unbelief. Why would you have me give up everything? I mean, my house was only a few years from being paid for. It was about time to start rolling into Benjamin's. And all of a sudden, it was all gone. But it didn't matter because it was all God's in the first place. Yeah. Folks, people don't understand how hard it is to come to a place where we look and we, even though we might be going through challenges and struggles, they may not understand what it's like to go through those things and still say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The word of God begins to go through there, and Christ began to question them. He said, why is it when they was in a shipwreck there, in a storm, Christ was in the middle of the boat. He was in the boat sleeping. He was with them. They came down there and said, carest thou not that we perish? And he comes up there and he calms the sea and he says, how is it that you have no faith? No faith. Just time and time again, he questioned them. Oh, ye of little faith. There was a time, an incident happened where there was a man who was sick of the palsy, and he was born of four. And as he was born of four, they were trying to get this man to Jesus best they could, but they couldn't get in because of the press. ABC, CBS, CNN, Fox News, they were all there covering Jesus. The Pharisaical Digest was there. They couldn't get this man into him, and they want to give up because they realize if we get this man to Jesus, Jesus will make something happen. So these folks somehow got that man who was sick of the palsy up on the roof. And when they got him up on the roof, they talked about break the box. They tore the people's roof up. Where they got the rope from that let this man down in the midst of them, I don't know. But when they did, Jesus, the Bible said, and Jesus saw their faith. Saw it. We preached on and when it was all said and done and Jesus healed that man, they said, we never saw it on this fashion. The four people there, I began to name them, and one of the people, the first person to make any of that stuff happen was a fellow by the name of Faith. And Faith had a motto. You remember what it is, Hampton Roads? Remember what Faith says? No, you don't remember. See, that's why you're struggling. Faith says, if I don't know the foundation of faith, if we, all we have to do is get them, all we have to do is trust God. And time again, oh ye of little faith, why is it that you have no faith? God, they asked a question. The Lord Jesus over there in Luke 17 began to talk about how if we're not careful as we deal with people, we're going to offend some folks. Amen. And he said, not only are we going to offend them, he said, and woe is unto them who offends one of these little ones. When he got to the end of that declaration, they came over there and said, increase our faith. You know, if I got to deal with people, if I have to worry about offending them at my own demise, I need the faith of God to know that I'm doing right. And he said, if you just had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, of a grain, we could cast this palm tree, we could cast this tree into the sea, we could move mountains, but there's no mountains being moved and there's no trees being uprooted. It shows the depravity of our faith. The Lord said, when the Son of Man returns, will he even find faith on the earth? We have begin to be so dependent. Brother Simmons talked about the Laodicean church. We have gotten so dependent on functions that we forget all about faith. And we try and figure out, Dr. Calvert, when you brought it out about when they're dealing with those fiery darts, and you talk about the shield of faith. Not only do we not use the shield of faith much, we don't even know where we put it down at. Coming in and asking our spouses, have you seen my shield? Have you seen my shield? Why, I'm under attack. The devil's after me, have you seen my shield? And the wife said, no, I don't have a shield. Let me check my purse. I got other key things in there. I don't know where your shield is. Maybe you can use my hat. Started thinking about a guy one time. He went out there. He was clothed. He had to go against the devil, and the devil came after him, and the devil was fighting with him. It was a tooth and nail. Knocked down, drag out. The devil took his fist and hit him in the head, but it didn't bother him because he had on the helmet of salvation. He drew back really good there, and he hit him in the chest, but didn't bother because he had his breastplate of righteousness on. Oh, man, he figured, I know what I'll do. I'll give him a gut check. I'll hit him back down there in his loins, but it didn't work because he had his loins filled about with truth. Oh, man, he said, I know, I'll do like the Three Stooges. I'll stomp on his feet and then hit him. He said, not because he had his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. He said, I'll come up on him. It's okay. I'll just shoot these darts at him. He said, not that. That ain't going to work because I got the shield of faith wherewith I should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Battle going on. He come in there. He has that. And by the way, that sword that he was using, it wasn't a broadsword. It was one of those short ones for infighting. Come on in here. Come on, get some. Sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Come on, get some. Battle going on. He's standing his ground because in don't retreat. All of a sudden, the devil did one of those slick moves, moved around. He slipped up and back and took one of those darts, hit him in the wallet and killed him. This thing called faith, folks, it is so encompassing in every aspect of our lives. And we miss it. We try of our own volition, of our own activities, to move to higher ground. And we wonder why we don't make it. We get into struggles and we get into challenges and we begin to question God. Oh, God, why? We got the, you know, Jesus made walking on the water look easy. He made it look so easy and so cool. Peter said, I want to do that. And then he questioned the Lord's integrity. If it be thou, my faith is starting to track, bid me come onto the water. He a fisherman. He know you can't walk on water, but Jesus is doing it, and he made it look easy. Storms blowing. Jesus ain't going. He's not doing anything. Peter steps out the boat. He's walking over towards the Lord Jesus. His senses came to him and his faith failed. The devil am I doing out here? I was in the boat. How stupid is this? He began to sink. The Lord was close to him because the Bible said when he cried out, Lord, save me. He just reached down there, picked him up and said, wherefore did you doubt? Hey, folks, you know, when Moses stood up there and opened up the Red Sea, I mean, Joshua was there watching that thing. And it was an exciting event. I mean, the seas rolled back and the pillar cloud. Now Joshua has to take him across the Jordan River. And guess what? He ain't got no staff. And by the way, preachers, sometimes we just don't need a staff. Maybe we need to do the work ourselves. That's a play on words. You'll get it later yourself. He didn't have no staff. He didn't have a Shekinah glory cloud in back of him. He didn't have those things. God told him as the Jordan was overflowing its banks, you tell the guys with the ark to go over there, and it's not until they go into the water that their feet get into that water that that water's going to part. And those guys went up there, and you could almost see them. Part the water, Lord. Part the water, Lord. Part the water. You know, and they're trying to make this thing happen. You can almost see them walking over there because God said, not only that, when the water parts, I need you to make a pit stop in the middle of it and get you 12 stones. God knew this thing was going to happen. Part the water. And it wasn't, their faith said, if I don't put my foot in that water will never go anywhere. By faith, they trusted God. They trusted, by the way, they didn't trust God. They trust Joshua, who was listening to God. That water parted. They walked across. They walked across. Sometimes this thing about faith is not easy. If you look over here, I had y'all turn to Romans 1:17 because the Bible talks about how we handle things because you may think you have faith, amen? And James said, you say you have faith and I have works. He said, I tell you what, you show me your faith without your works and I'll show you my faith by my works. Because faith, in its pure essence, in its pure opportunities, it is that which is operative. It moves. It moves out. It does things according to the program of God. It's active. Don't tell me how much you believe and then you don't do. Your faith has never been tested. Let me help you. You probably don't have it. Because it's easy to sit back and say what you could do and what you would do. But it's hard to justify what you haven't done. And sometimes when you step out there by faith, we think that faith is going to be an easy ride. But you got to remember, when Peter walked on the water, the storms were still raging. And when he walked back with the Lord Jesus, the storms were still raging. They never stopped raging until they got back to the boat. And that's when Jesus calmed the sea. Sometimes we don't realize, and we think once the Lord has delivered one time, that it's a once for all done deal. But it's not a once for all done deal. He says that here's the way of the Christian ministry, the Christian life, the Christian family, the Christian nation. It goes from faith to faith. If I don't get past the first step, the second step is not going to be any easier. It's actually going to be worse. Have you ever gotten involved with some things and absolutely got overwhelmed? And when you got overwhelmed, you looked at your life and you looked at the circumstances and you began to think to yourself, I've never been here before. It's never been this bad. Oh, I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know how we're going to do it. And we get to that panic state, forgetting the fact that we were in similar situations before. And God's just trying to get us to a higher level of trust for Him. I'm trying to climb that standard, climb that ladder, and walk from faith to faith till finally I walk into the place where God called me to that final step in glory, when I look into His wonderful faith and He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Paul said, I finished my course. He said, I kept the faith. Jude said, you need to earnestly contend for the faith. You don't need to be contending for all this other foolishness. If you just stand fast in the faith of the Word of God, everything will be all right in my Father's house. We're going to come back there for a moment, in a moment. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. And y'all know this, stuff. We got preachers here. And every preacher always knows. Every preacher, is this water mine? I don't normally drink water during service. I really don't. But I normally drink it before and after. I didn't see it before, and it ain't after yet. So I just got to go where I'm at. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 1, there's three words there that starts off this whole passage that introduces us to a realm, to a visionary view of the things of God, how God operates even through adversity. And I was listening to some things, and by the way, how you emphasize the words. Now we know, grammatically speaking, the sentence construct demands us to look at the word faith as the object. But you know, one guy came over there and said, he looked at that instead of saying, now faith, he said, now faith is the substance. Now faith, not the faith of the past, not the faith of the future, now faith. God is not interested in what you think or how you're going to serve in the future. He's interested in what you're doing right now. Now faith is the substance. Now faith is the evidence. Now faith shows up. And I thought, whoo, that's pretty good. Then you shift the emphasis. It comes in. Now, faith is the subject of things hoped for, the evidence. Without faith, it's impossible. The Bible talks about faith being those things that makes happen. You're saved by faith. Everything is focused on faith. Now, faith is. Then he turned around and said, is the object. Now, faith is. And those things, and by the way, he said over there in verse number 6, he said, you know, and you can look at this thing. I know where the faith lies. Don't get me wrong. Now faith is. He said, if you're going to please God, You're going to have to believe that he, what? Is. And I will never have any substance. I will never have any evidence. I will never believe anything if I don't believe that God is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's all about faith, however you want to emphasize it. But you need to realize it's about faith that is now, not faith that was or faith that will be. I can't live on past glories. I've got to go from faith to faith. Challenge to challenge. Opportunity. You know, I got questioned one day. And by the way, I'm saying all this here because October 1 this year, everything that resembles secular activity in my life falls away. That's a Monday. I no longer work for any government. I'm working to sell it out strictly and totally for the church. Maybe I should have did it sooner, but maybe my faith was weak. My opportunity and ability to trust God, maybe it was challenged by the scenarios and scenery around me where I looked at the possibilities of failure. But faith can't look at failure. Faith has to always keep its eyes and its mind on the author and finisher of our faith. And until we make that standard that the Lord is the only one who could help us through this, because he's the one who originated faith, the faith that moves mountains, the faith that allows people to stand up there and sing while being sawn asunder. It ain't easy being a Christian. It ain't easy serving God when God takes you out of your comfort zone and tells you it's me, and you got everything around you pulling against you. In the midst of a shipwreck, Paul in chains stands up in the midst of the worst storm they had known. Euroclydon. For those who don't know how to say it right, Euroclydon. He stands up in the middle of the ship, the middle of the storm, and he says, be of good cheer. What? I believe God. We'd have cast out the cargo. We threw out the anchors. He said, get something to eat. We throwed it out. They had lost all hope. All of it. All hope. Folks, I think about what God's getting ready to do for us. And I think where it brought me from. I think about how many times my faith had got challenged and how many times I had the opportunity to fail. Young men that got saved, I looked at their outward, their external position, and I said, there's no way those people are ever going to hear anything from God. There's no way. Ain't no sense of me wasting my time. And somebody who I've been telling people, we walk by faith, not by sight. Wait, five times it's talking about the just shall live by faith. He said, I teach this stuff, and then somebody said, Pastor, why don't you go talk to them? Well, there's no way it's going to happen. And they questioned my faith. And by the way, when you question my faith, then I'm forced to defend it.
That's good. That's real good.
I'm forced to have to go over there and exercise my faith. And when I exercise my faith in the life of these people, these young hoodlum-looking guys that I didn't want to have any part to do with at the time, where I thought that they was hopeless and helpless, they was cursing, the rap music was coming out there, one of them was getting ready to go to jail that next Monday. Everything in the winds of this scenario here said the ship is lost. Why even go over there? But somebody said, Pastor, what about them? Who knows? If you go talk to them, I'll be your secretary for free. It was a bad deal because I didn't have any money anyway. If you're going to be my secretary, it's going to be for free because I didn't have anything. We didn't have a church. We didn't have anything. Went over there and the young man got saved and they said, Preacher, if somebody had to come here sooner and talk to us, maybe we wouldn't have been in trouble. I'm sitting in a building right now that there's absolutely no way we should get it. We could get it. None. No way we can get it. No way we should have it. No way it should be where it's at. I mean, everything from the time they mentioned the building's price. Brother, I'm going to do the same thing. I got one of them in my pocket. I don't notice it until everybody else says, you're killing us. And then they give me this thing here. And for the most part, I wipe it off there and put it on the side there. Then I just wipe my hand and wipe it. It's weird. But by faith, it works. No way I should have these things. The building was completely out of our class. Not only was it out of our class as far as price was concerned, we didn't have enough people to qualify getting a go-kart, let alone a building. The banks had stopped lending to people, and not only that, the people who lent us the money came in town to work on our paperwork, and they went over there to foreclose on another church. Didn't have anything. And the crazy person said, preacher, there's a building around the corner. How much do they want? They want $1.2 million for it. They might as well have wanted $1 gazillion. We had $22,000. Now, last time I checked, that's not enough for a down payment. Am I wrong on $1.2 million? Why don't you go ask about it? You know, why don't you grow up? Why don't you come down out of la-la land and realize, you know, I got a degree in this thing here, and I know that a per capita, and when you put down so much, and all these things, and all the stars have to line up, and Jupiter align with Mars, and the age of Aquarius has to come in before we get this for them. And somehow, we took that step, and all of a sudden, things begin to happen. Things begin to happen. The bank said, could you come up with this? And folks begin to say, best we could do is this. And they started taking that step. And then one day, all of a sudden, those people came over there and they said, it's yours. Hey. How? We still don't have the people that they said you needed just to qualify. We still don't have the income they said you need to have. But you know what? God is happily paying all the bills, and we don't take credit for it. I don't take credit for it. I guarantee you I don't take credit for none of that, because by faith, God made those things happen. By foolishness, I almost didn't. And we began to grow, exercising our faith each time, step by step. When I step out here, it's just another step to get to that place, that plateau where God has me. By faith on heaven's tableland. I want to be what God would have me to be. Now, let me, my time is running short, so let me step through some things here real quick. If you bear me this. There's some things that had to happen when I look down through here. And by the way, you could go all over the place. I think about the Old Testament where we had to deal with the patience of faith, the passion of faith, the prudence of faith, the proclamation of faith, the prerequisites for faith. And you can go on message after message. The person of faith. All over the place where you deal with faith. All over the place. And I realized this also in Luke chapter number 22. I find out that if I'm not careful, the Bible says that the devil desires to have me. That he has made as if me as we. But God said, I prayed for you. I prayed the Father for you. He said, what are you praying for? That your faith fail not. I'm praying that your faith don't fail. Your faith don't fail. Later on, Peter was able to go over there in 1 Peter chapter number 1. He says the trying of your faith. You ever get your faith tried? You ever get run through the ringer to the place where you almost want to give up? Where, as you said, preacher, we despaired even of life. Well, you look at your friends go away and Demas even forsakes you. And you say, no man stood with me save Christ only. You ever get that so lonely and that so desolate and you're standing, you want to go on and you start questioning, maybe I do need to get out of this. Maybe I do need to give this up. And God says, you keep going forward. You trust me in this and not them. And in chapter number 11, he's got an example after example after example of people who went forward because first and foremost, they had faith from the Word of God. God said it, that settled it. And because of that, look down here, it says in verse number 2 of chapter 11, by faith, for by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were formed by the Word of God. God spoke it all. God made it all happen. And when God starts telling us to move out, we don't need to stand back. He said, the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There's faith from the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My faith cannot increase if I'm not going to get into the Word of God to establish it and trust God. He said, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. From faith, we have to have faith from the Word of God, faith to worship God. You know, I found out if it's not a faith, it's sin. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to believe that God's going to show up. I'm going to believe with all my heart when I worship Him, when I bow down to Him, the sacrifices I make to Him, I need to know that it's to Him. I watch too much celluloid fakery going on, and people are saying we're fed by faith. People come down there slain in the faith, falling out and throw their clothes up in the air. That ain't God. We're going to get excited for God and bless God. Let's get excited for God because we can see what God, He has done great. You know when they sang the loudest? Boy, when they got on the other side of the Red Sea. Boy, they began to sing. Marion even showed up. Amen. She got the ladies to sing. Hallelujah. I mean, they had a good time. They were worshiping God, but they offered a more excellent sacrifice because they have offered it in faith. Trusting God. Faith from the Word of God. Faith to worship God. I want to know that my worship is going to God. I want to know it. Look down here a little further. He said, by faith he offered a more excellent sacrifice unto God. Amen. Excellent, more excellent than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was what? Righteous. God testifying of his gift. And by it, he being dead, what? By faith. By faith. Folks, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I wonder if I have that faith. I want to be in the place where God says, well done. I need faith to walk with God. Look at verse 5 and 6 down here. He said, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he what? He pleased God. But how did he do it? He said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. And sometimes I have to be honest with you folks. I can look at everybody else and say what you've done or may not have done, but there's times when I've walked and I haven't walked in faith and I haven't pleased God. There's no telling how much further along we could have been in the ministry if I'd have just trusted God just a little bit more. Where I didn't go to God and say, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. God says that I have to approach these things, nothing wavering. And I can't say that I've approached all the things of God without any wavering. I just can't do it. And the only thing I acknowledge at that time is that I'm no better than Peter. Peter walked on water. And Christ had to rebuke him for his faith. I'm no better than Paul. I'm no better than any of those guys. I'm just a man, and there's going to be times when God's going to ask me to do the incredible, the impossible, because when man, these things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. He's going to ask me to do the impossible, and I'm going to have to step out by faith. I'm going to have to go to a land that's unfamiliar. I'm going to have to do these things. I'm going to have to take these steps, and I'm glad he didn't throw it all over me at one time. Because you're right, Dr. Calvert. If you'd have showed me the big picture, the whole thing, let me show you what's in store for you, I'd have found another occupation. Because there is no way you could tell me that you can haphazardly see all the obstacles. Paul really impressed me when they told him that the man who's wearing this girdle is going to suffer. And they're going to put him in chains, and they're going to beat the fire out of him, and they're going to stone him, and they're going to hang him, try and kill him. There's no way I'd have said, well, you know, sounds like a perfect trip for me. Paul said, I know that pain and affliction, I know these things are going to follow me. He said, but none of these things moved me. But I ain't Paul. You go over there, and they're going to knock you upside your head. Honey, we need to avoid that area because that's a bad neighborhood over there. And I ain't going to lie to you. When I first went to Atlanta and ran into those demons, that the same faithful person, preacher, you could reach the same person questioning my faith, bring me in front of these demon-possessed lunatics. Man, look at me in the eye, following me up and down. I'm just trying to see a monument. I can't even enjoy it because I got to stay between him and the lady. Not because I'm brave, because I'm realizing I need to show them where to run. Amen. I'm walking down here, and preacher locked his doors. Preacher locked his doors in D.C. Sometimes some people may see a vision that we may not understand, and we get frightened at it. I did. Bless the Lord. Saw this nut over there. He's walking. He's talking about the Illuminati. And he's talking about X and how there's that XOR. And I'm thinking, good night. And this person who's with me talking to him, let the man move on. Don't know if he got a knife. Don't know what he's planning. All I know, he's coming over there. He's talking. He ain't blinking. He ain't breathing. It's like... Finally got the ladies back in the car, finally convinced her, let's just go back. Hey, we ain't watching it. They got him in the car, and he's talking. He look him in the eye, and he said, they tell you, look in the left eye, look in the left eye. And then he began to cry out, he is not afraid. He is not afraid. He is not afraid. I was afraid. When I got in the car, I said, thanks a lot. My wife said, we don't need to go here. We wrote it off. And God said, that's where I want you. The faith walk. Faith to work with God. Look down here, verse number 7. By faith. By faith. Being warned of God of things not yet, what? Not seen as yet. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He worked on that ark for decades. And not a drop of water. Ridiculed. Not a drop of water. Mock preaching, the Bible said. And when it's all said and done, 8 people got saved. 8 people. And he builded this thing on dry land. Now the people don't even know what the thing is. Oh, that's a funny looking house you're building there. What do you call it? It's an ark. What's it for? God's going to send a flood. What's a flood? He said it's going to rain. What's rain? He said he's going to put in all the animals in it. Boy, that thing's going to stink. That's going to be a mess. What are you doing, Noah? Still, he worked on when nobody believed. When it was all said and done, they all died. Noah and Mrs. Noah. And by the way, you ever check that out? It was just the right place that you had all the couples there, but there were no children. There was no children born until after the flood to this family. These three families, these three couples, no children. When they get off the ark, then all of a sudden there's children all over the place. They populating the planet. Kids coming out the woodworks. And we eating steak now because I'm tired of all this populating the planet. Faith to work with God. When God tells me to move out and I take off and go. Folks, the only way that can happen, and we'll close with this. Look over here. It's not a point. It's just a process. Chapter 12, verse 1, he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. By the way, those witnesses are all physically dead. By faith, we know that they're still watching us because we trust God. They're all dead, and it doesn't matter what D.L. Moody did. It doesn't matter what John R. Rice did. It doesn't matter how Lee Robinson did it. It doesn't matter how they built their church, because you're not D.L. Moody. You're not John R. Rice. You're not Lee Robinson. You're not Jack Howes. You're not Bud Calvert. You're not Lou Baldwin. You're none of those people. You are you, and God just wants you to be the best you could possibly be. All of these happened because you had some men that says, forsaking all, I trust him. And they became the best them that they could be. I can't be Ted Patterson. I can't be Ken Simmons. I can't be Kenny Baldwin. My body's too rigid. I can't move like that. I can't shout like that. I can't sing like that. I can't be him. I can't be Aaron Gamble. By the time I get the fourth alliteration out there, I forgot what the first one was. And he's got 16 more coming. I don't even write them down anymore. I just get the tape. He'll fill up your preacher calendar in one message. He'll give you a whole thing. Man, I could use this on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And he'll give you a year's worth of sermon, 52 of them in one message. The only thing I can be is the best Pastor Bennett walking by faith, because there's a group of people coming after me. There were some people who came after me in Belgium. I got to be that person who lays aside the weight and the sin. And I need to run this race that God has given me. And when I get the pain in my side, I need to know, like I used to do. I look and I would run from post to post. If I could just get to that post over there. And if I could get to that post over here. From step to step. From faith to faith. Pain to pain. Anxiety to anxiety. Person to person. Problem to problem. Each one, God is always faithful. Always faithful. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. We were in Belgium. We were doing a remodeling of a building. And while we were over there remodeling that building, we were in that place and people took advantage of us. We had to go in there and do it ourselves. We didn't know what we was doing. Had a young fella in there. People were tired. Man, they were tired. Others began to say, maybe we're too aggressive in this thing here. And one person stood with me at that time there. And you know what they said? They said, because you believed it could be done, I'm here with you. He says, I'm bringing with me no skills. Got no skills. He says, I'm here for moral support. I found out moral support will not drive a nail in. Won't drive a nail in. It won't cut a board. It will not. He'll come over there. He'll sweep up. And I'm saying, don't sweep up that because I got a lot more to come. Well, if I get this out of the way, then it's a lot less to do later. Hey, moral support. I stayed because I believed in what you were doing. Those folks over there, they're covenant because they believe what we're doing. And the only thing I could say is, be ye followers of me, as I'm a follower of Christ Jesus, and we're going to walk this walk by faith. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. I don't know the rest of it. You're trusting in something, amen. Forsaking all, I trust him. And one day I'll be able to stand by faith on heaven's table land and he say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, you know our